God's Divine Healing, Part 2, Healing in the Atonement, by Peter Amsterdam.
A principle regarding divine healing that has been articulated in TFI's Statement of Faith for decades is that God's healing is part of the atonement. We believe that through Christ's suffering and death on the cross, God has made provision not only for the salvation of the souls of all humankind, but also for the healing of physical infirmities. The concept of healing as part of the atonement is based on Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The word translated as infirmities in this passage is the Hebrew word koli, meaning sickness. These verses refer to both the spiritual and physical healing that Christ purchased for us on the cross. Theologian Wayne Grudem expresses this concept of healing as part of the atonement as follows. All Christians would probably agree that in the atonement Christ has purchased for us not only complete freedom from sin, but also complete freedom from physical weakness and infirmity in his work of redemption. And all Christians would also no doubt agree that our full and complete possession of all the benefits that Christ earned for us will not come until Christ returns. It is only at his coming that we receive our perfect resurrection bodies. So it is with physical healing and redemption from the physical sickness that came as a result of the curse in Genesis 3. Our complete possession of redemption from physical illness will not be ours until Christ returns and we receive resurrection bodies. But the question that confronts us with respect to the gift of healing is whether God may from time to time grant us a foretaste or a down payment of the physical healing which he will grant us fully in the future. The healing miracles of Jesus certainly demonstrate that at times God is willing to grant a partial foretaste of the perfect health that will be ours for eternity. While the fact that healing is part of the atonement is generally believed by those who teach healing evangelism, there are variances in the way it is interpreted. Some believe that while physical healing is contained within the atonement, by his stripes we are healed, this doesn't mean all sickness will be healed immediately or even in this lifetime. Others believe that because healing is in the atonement, this means God will heal all diseases now. In his book, Healing Evangelism, healing evangelist Don Dunkerley writes about his wife, Eileen, who was told she would not have any more children, yet had a miracle pregnancy and delivered a baby girl, Joy Ann. After her birth, the doctors found a congenital defect from which only 1 in 10 survive. His church and others were praying for and expecting healing. Don recounts the following in his book. But the Lord took Joy Ann to heaven when she was just a half hour short of 1 week old. This was a great blow to many who had prayed in faith. One member of our congregation told me recently that her prayer life was disturbed for years because she was so angry at God that Joy Ann had died when virtually the whole city of Pensacola were praying for her healing. Eileen and I were established enough in our understanding of God's sovereignty that her death did not shake our faith or disturb our prayer lives. On my first Sunday back in the pulpit, I preached a sermon to reassure the congregation, and Eileen and me, that God had not failed to keep his promises. My text was Ephesians 1:5, and the sermon title, His Kind Intention. Healing is in the atonement, I told them, but heaven is in the atonement too. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are instantly forgiven, but we do not instantly go to heaven. Some of the blessings of the atonement we have in a partial sense now, and some we will have in a complete sense in the future when we get to heaven. One day we shall all be perfectly healed of our diseases when we stand before the throne of the Lamb and sing his praises. It is God's will, ultimately, that all his people be healed. Sometimes it is his will that we be healed instantly. But sometimes he has something better for us. Because our illnesses and infirmities can be part of his wonderful work for our sanctification. God did not heal Joy Ann in the way we were praying for. I said he healed her by taking her to heaven. In his book, When God Doesn't Heal Now, Larry Kefauver tells a story of two situations. One in which a woman is hospitalized with an unknown condition which puts her into a coma. The doctors had no idea what the problem was. Over the months, specialists were brought in from top hospitals to attempt various procedures, but to no avail. The doctors told the husband his wife was brain dead. The husband believed God for his wife's healing and continued to pray for her. He took her home and cared for her for months on end. In time, she began to regain consciousness, and after many more months, she was completely healed. He relates another account of a Christian couple who were serving the Lord for 20 years when the wife was diagnosed with cancer. After much prayer, over a period of time she improved, but not for long, and eventually she died of the cancer. After sharing these two accounts, the author concluded, "Both couples walked by faith. In one instance, God healed physically, in a miraculous way, in time and space. In the other instance, God healed eternally." Kefauver makes the case that God always heals. He heals some people in time, that is, in this life, and others he heals in eternity, meaning that he heals them through delivering them from this life and taking them into eternity where they are healed forever. For his part, healing evangelist Curry Blake makes the case that since healing is in the atonement, when someone is prayed for, their healing in this life is just as sure as salvation. He teaches that healing in this life is always God's will. His premise is that because healing is in the atonement, it is always God's will to heal. So healing in this lifetime is guaranteed. Therefore, if someone is prayed for and they aren't healed, or at least the process of healing doesn't start, then there is some failure on the part of the person praying. There are some other Christians who practice healing, such as from the Prosperity Gospel and Word of Faith movement, who believe that if someone is prayed for and doesn't recover, then the fault lies with the sick person for not having enough faith. Some also believe that in a case where a child of Christian parents dies, the parents or others who prayed are responsible for not having enough faith. Most theologians and many other healing evangelists I have researched don't agree with these points of view. Although they affirm that healing is in the atonement, they also believe that while many people will be healed in this lifetime, others will be healed in eternity. While God's divine healing is part of TFI's core beliefs, Maria and I also don't believe that the case can be made from Scripture that everyone prayed for is guaranteed to be healed in this lifetime. Nor do we believe that if they aren't healed, this means that there was a failure somewhere, whether on the part of the person who prayed for healing or the person being prayed for. Healing is part of the atonement. When Jesus was resurrected and then ascended into heaven, it wasn't only his spirit that rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. His physical body did as well. When Jesus returns at the rapture, we will meet him in the air, and not just our spirits, but our bodies too. We will have supernatural bodies like Jesus does, and those bodies will be fully healed for eternity. That's the ultimate fulfillment of the atonement. While there are differences of opinion on whether healing in the atonement means everyone who is prayed for must be healed now, or that some will be healed now and others only in eternity, one thing we can count on is that because of Jesus' suffering and death, we will live forever with resurrected bodies which will suffer no pain and will never be sick. We can also know that healing is available to us and others while we live on earth, through Jesus' atonement. We can be instruments for the healing of others, if we have the faith to step out and pray for those in need, thus bringing them the opportunity to receive healing at God's hand in accordance with His will. Healing for evangelism. One of the main points of agreement among some of the contemporary healing evangelists that I researched, such as John and Sonia Decker, Don Dunkerley, and Curry Blake, is that one of the primary purposes of the gift of healing is as a tool for evangelism. Praying for the sick in this case is a means of sharing the good news of the gospel and bringing people to salvation. While these healing evangelists do pray for other Christians who need healing, they each make the point that healing is a very effective means of preaching the gospel. When you pray in the name of Jesus for someone who is sick and they are healed, it is a powerful testimony that what you are preaching about Jesus is true. Don Dunkerley wrote the following about the effectiveness of healing in evangelism. Using healing prayer in evangelism is a major emphasis in developing countries and is a reason for the meteoric rise of Pentecostal and charismatic churches in the 20th century. My advice to missionaries is to pray for the sick and distressed on every appropriate occasion. Pray for the healing of believers and pray that unbelievers will be healed and saved. Wayne Grudem wrote the following about the purposes for healing. As with other spiritual gifts, healing has several purposes. Certainly, it functions as a sign to authenticate the gospel message and show that the kingdom of God has come. Then also, healing brings comfort and health to those who are ill, and thereby demonstrates God's attribute of mercy toward those in distress. Third, healing equips people for service, as physical impediments to ministry are removed. Fourth, healing provides opportunity for God to be glorified, as people see physical evidence of His goodness, love, power, wisdom, and presence. The ministry of healing was evidenced in the lives of the apostles and others in the early church, and was a part of their evangelism. In Acts 3, we read of Peter and John healing a man who was lame from birth, resulting in a witness to a multitude of people, And many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Acts 19 recounts healing miracles performed by Paul. Praying for those who are in need of healing can be an effective method of evangelization for those who are called to this ministry.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at tfionline.com.